People want direction from God. They want to know where he is. They want to know what he says. And here in the Bible, you have his written word. He reveals himself to you. If you want to know God, if you want to know what his love is for you, then listen to, follow, and obey his word.
You're listening to Opening the Bible with Dr. Nick Gatzke, Senior Pastor of Old North Church in Canfield, Ohio. I'm your host, Brian Dolan. Today we get to part two of a message from Pastor Nick called The Word of God. And you know, Pastor, a lot of people want to take the Bible and use it as a way to understand what's going on around them, but it's hard to do that. How can we truly use God's Word as the lens through which we view the world?
That's a great question. And I think part of the answer is that the more you engage the scriptures by reading it, by hearing it, by hearing it taught, it actually becomes a part of you, so much so that it helps you to understand the world around you and the situations that you're engaged in. And I think that's important because every media outlet in this life is imposing a lens on top of us that says we're supposed to view reality in a certain way. And that comes through books, it comes through the news, it comes through movies. And yet, if we want to understand reality from the one who created reality, it would make sense that the lens by which we process our life is through the lens of the scripture.
And yet so often we're drawn to wanting to fit in. We want to belong. And each society and culture has its own subgroups where we try to do that. How do we know if we're doing this right? Are we going to fit anywhere?
There is a tension point there that we recognize that the scripture stands above culture in that way. And that as something that transcends culture, helps us to navigate any and every cultural reality of this life. And at the same time, that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that you are not going to fit into cultures in a certain type of way. If you're following God's way and the cultural ideals are expressed in opposition to that, we're not going to fit in. We're going to be aliens in this world. We have a better home that awaits. And the scripture talks about that again and again.
Well, with that, we'll turn to today's message, which is part two of a message from Dr. Nick Gatzke called The Word of God.
Because the words from God are from God, they're authoritative in their nature. Now, everybody knows that words carry different amount of weight or authority depending upon who speaks them. When the principal of a school speaks to the students, it's received differently than when the classroom aide speaks to the students. If God is the sovereign Lord of the universe, if he is indeed faithful and good as he has displayed himself to be again and again and again, if he is all-knowing, and if he is inherently wise, then his words certainly mean more. They carry greater weight. They become the ultimate authority for anyone in this life. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have in our time today, in our culture today, is that we often don't rightly distinguish which voices should carry greater weight than other voices. But make no mistake about it. Nobody exists in a vacuum. Nobody is uninfluenced by the voices around them. There's all kinds of voices, and those voices direct us in many ways, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for many people to distinguish which ones should carry weight and which ones shouldn't. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's certainly been an erosion of trust for the experts or for the institutions, and some of that erosion of trust is earned, as you've seen leaders or politicians or people that have not had pure motives. Another reason why this difficulty occurs is that with the expansion of social media, this means that Everybody now has the opportunity to present their thoughts, feelings, or opinions with such a high level of confidence, despite the fact that they may or may not actually correspond with reality. Another reason why it's becoming more and more difficult for people to rightly balance authoritative words is that there's a vast array of media outlets now that nearly always allows you to find someone who is speaking on something that you already agree with. And as a result, your beliefs or your thoughts are only further entrenched and ensconced. And this isn't necessarily authoritative in its nature. In fact, what it does is that it starts to crowd out the space where an authoritative word can come in and actually challenge your beliefs or your thoughts on any given subject. And so as a result, you're tempted to dismiss any word that doesn't already have a level of agreement attached to it by you. But here's the thing. One of the biggest choices that you are going to have to make in this life is what voice or voices will you allow to direct your path? One of the biggest choices that you're going to have to make in this life is, will you trust God and His Word as supreme because of who God is? And by supreme, I mean, will you trust God and His Word as supreme over your thoughts, over your feelings, and even over your experiences? And if you do that, it will change your view on what is important in life. It will inform your decisions of how to live going forward. God's Word will address your character. He will address your marriage. He will address your job. God's Word will address your parenting. God's Word will address your money. God is the ultimate authority. The question is will you follow Him? When God speaks, we see a couple more dynamics. Because it is a word from God, not only is it authoritative, but it's also eternal and unchanging. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Isaiah chapter 40 says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." We also see that loving God means that you love His Word. When you love something, you fixate on it. You think about it. You pursue it. And when you love someone, you think about them. You fixate on them. You pursue them. You delight when you are with the one that you love. And when you're not, you do things like replay the conversations you've had, look at pictures on your phone, reread an old letter. You think about the things that you would have done differently the last time you were together and the things that you hope to do the next time you are together. And the same is true in some ways with God. Psalm 119 contains 176 verses regarding the incredible nature of God's Word. And it points to the fact that loving God means loving His Word. And loving His Word points you to your love for God and God's love for you. And it's expressed in things like Psalm 119:24 that says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." In verses 97 and 98 that said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. It is ever with me." Or verse 111 that says, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." Or verse 159 that says, "Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love." And so throughout the Old Testament, we see again and again and again and again If you want to know God and his love for you, then listen to, follow, and obey his word. As we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that God's word is expressed even more profoundly. Yes, God speaks, he reveals, it's authoritative in its nature. God acts through his word. It changes our lives and our love. And we see when we get to the New Testament that Jesus is expressed as the living word of God. That might seem in some ways a little odd to us to call a person the word. But if God's word is really the revelation of who he is, if he is revealing himself to us, then the greatest way that he can reveal himself to us is through being with us, to show us his character and his plan, and it comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God shows us, he reveals to us his love for us as Jesus leaves the glory of heaven for the sinfulness of earth. God shows or reveals his love for us by this word, Jesus, as he preaches grace and truth to sinful human beings like me and you. And he calls people from all stations of life to believe in him and receive eternal life. And God reveals his plan to us, and he shows his love for us. And this word, Jesus, lived a perfect life, died a horrible death, rose from the dead, paid the penalty for your sins and mine, so that we might be alive to God and live with him forever. This means that Jesus, the living word of God, and the gospel, the good news that he preaches for the forgiveness of sins, are part of the proclamation of who God himself is at the core. And if you want to know him, then you need to know Jesus. If you want to know him, if you want to know his love for you, then listen to and follow and obey his word. We see in the New Testament that the Bible, as it is being formed, becomes the written word of God. Jesus is the living word. The law and the prophets and the writings of the Old Testament are accepted as scripture, the written word of God, and the New Testament that is being written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is also to be recognized as the word of God. In fact, the New Testament writers quoted the Old Testament approximately 250 times and alluded to it over 900 times. The word scripture is used 51 times in the New Testament, every time referring to the Old Testament. Two occurrences we see of the New Testament writers recognizing other New Testament works as part of Christian scripture or the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 refers to Paul's writings and classifies it with other scriptures or the Word of God. 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul quotes Luke chapter 10, verse 7, he calls it scripture or the word of God. People everywhere are looking for God. They long for God. They desire to hear from God. I love the old story. It's one of my favorites of the two little boys, ages 4 and 6, who were excessively mischievous. And they were always getting into trouble, and their parents knew that if there was any problems in town, it was probably the result of their two children. The boy's mother had heard that the local minister in town had been very successful in disciplining children. And so she asked if he would speak with her boys. The preacher agreed, but he asked to see them individually. And so the mother sent the 4-year-old boy in the morning, and the 6-year-old boy was to come later in the afternoon. And as the boy, 4 years old, sat down in the office of the preacher, who was a huge man with a deep, booming voice, he asked the young lad sternly, "Do you know where God is, son?" And the boy's mouth dropped wide open. But he made no response, and he sat there wide-eyed. And so the preacher repeated the question in an even sterner tone, "Where is God?" And again, the boy made no attempt to answer. And so the preacher raised his voice even more, and he shook his finger in the boy's face, and he said, "Where is God?" And the boy screamed, and he jumped up out of the chair, and he ran out of the office, and he ran all the way down the street to his house, and he threw open the front door, and he ran upstairs, and he dove into the back of his closet, and he hid. When the older brother found him, he said, "What happened?" And the 4-year-old gasped for breath, and he replied, "We're in big trouble this time. God is missing. And they think we did it." People want direction from God. They want to know where he is. They want to know what he says. And here, in the Bible, you have his written word. He reveals himself to you. He points you to Jesus in it. He gives you new life through it. He instills hope in you because of it. And he gives you wisdom for the rest of the days of your life. If you want to know God, if you want to know what his love is for you, then listen to, follow, and obey his word. I want to close this morning with a series of implications or applications for you. And all of these implications are coming directly from the scripture, and they can be under the category of sufficiency. That the word of God is sufficient for everything you need for life and godliness in these days. And I'll move very quickly. The word of God is true. John 17:17 says, Jesus says, "Sanctify them in the truth." The truth, what is real, what is right, what is good, what is true. Your word, Jesus says, is truth. The word of God is sufficient for you to please God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to your children forever, that we may do all of the words of this law." The word of God is living and active. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God is useful. 2 Timothy 2:3-16, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training for righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete." Nobody wants to be incomplete. You want to be complete. The word of God helps you in that regard, equipped for every good work. The word of God brings about salvation. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:14-15, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." The word of God shows the magnitude of God's ways. If you're anything like me, you're tempted to minimize how great the works of God really are, because we live in an incredibly self-sufficient time. But Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So if you are seeking God, look to his word. If you want the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, go to his word, which the Spirit inspired and the Spirit illumines, opens your eyes and allows to see and experience it. If you want to see God, you need not look to a religious icon or a piece of classic art. You certainly don't want to look in the mirror. Though you are an image bearer, you are not God. If you want to really see God, you look to the one who reveals God the Father, the living Word, Jesus Christ, who is in the image of God and is one with the Father. And if you want guidance for life, you have to decide which voices you're going to listen to, because there is a pantheon of them. If you want guidance for life, then read or listen to or access this word of God. But you need to have the right expectations. Sometimes reading the Bible or listening to it is like drinking from a fire hose. It's all you can do to just swallow and breathe because it's that intense. But other times, reading the word of God is like sitting in a bathtub with a slow and dripping faucet. And you might not feel like you are being cleansed immediately. But as you sit there longer, or as the rhythm or the pattern of your life accesses the Lord's word again and again and again, you are indeed changed. If you want to know God, his love for you, then listen to and follow and obey his word. You know, words are powerful. And certain types of words can change a person and their destiny. And certain people, and I think all of us in some way or another, want powerful words to point us to some sort of immortality. That was the title of an eBay auction from September of 2005. The title read, "Let Stephen King Kill You" in his upcoming book. And the auction was created by a nonprofit organization called the First Amendment Project, and it made some very big claims. Here's your chance to be immortalized in literary history. Bid on a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be a character in an upcoming book by Stephen King. What could be a better gift for his ultimate fan? Be immortalized by dying in a book. The auction ended after 76 bids, with the winner agreeing to pay $25,100 for the chance to see his name printed in black and white. Other notable authors offered their services as well. One bidder paying $12,100 for a chance to appear in a John Grisham novel, and another paying $6,350 in order to be included as an utterance in Lemony Snicket's upcoming book, The 13th. These bidders would probably be surprised to learn that another author had been offering them both immortality and inclusion in his literary masterpiece for almost 2,000 years. The author's name is Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And these words really do have the power for true immortality, because his novel is called The Book of Life. And he offers to put your name in it for free. If you want to know God, if you want to know God's love for you, then listen to, obey, follow his word.
Thanks, Pastor. That concludes part 2 of a message from Dr. Nick Gatzke called The Word of God. Don't miss next time as we keep going in our series called From Old to New to You. You know, when my kids were little, I always loved coming home at the end of the day. You know, they'd run to the door with smiles on their faces, delighted to see me. I'm also grateful today to the Lord for dogs as well, because now that my kids are teenagers, there's at least a few wagging tails when I come home. But did you know that you can cultivate that childlike joy when approaching your Heavenly Father? If you're experiencing a challenge in that area, we have a resource that can help. With your gift today to Opening the Bible, we'll send you a book by Stephen Shedd. It's called Growing in Prayer, Learning to Pray with Dependence and Delight. And as you learn deeply in this four-week course, it'll help you ultimately grow closer to Jesus with that childlike joy. Get your gift in today. Go to openingthebible.org. That's openingthebible.org. Opening the Bible is a teaching ministry of and is sponsored by Old North Church of Canfield, Ohio.